Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Bill's Story, page 13, third paragraph, My Schoolmate Visited Me Through the Utmost of My Ability. Today's readers are Sherry Z or Z, depending on where you're calling in from, who will read the text, Chanel T, A Vision for You, and Vanessa G is our backup. Please stay on if you're new especially. Our newcomer greeter, Sherry M, will be here with Eileen M, who will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, April 10th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,305. And for Thursday, April 11th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is 21,307. Our OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Vanessa G to please read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Susan, for your service. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa G. in New Mexico. Alex K. in California, would you please join us and read the 12 traditions? Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Susan. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group will never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Less problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be reorganized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To prep to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we're going to resume our study of the Big Book on page 13 in Bill's story. The third paragraph, my schoolmate visited me through to the utmost of my ability. And I will now ask Sherry Zed to please begin reading and share with us on that paragraph. Thank you, Sherry, so much.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, visionaries. I'm Sherry Z or Sherry Zed, depending what country you're from. And I'm so grateful to be recovered in this program. We are on page 13 in the third paragraph. My schoolmate visited me, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. We made a list of people I had hurt or toward whom I felt resentment. I expressed my entire willingness to approach these individuals, admitting my wrong. Never was I to be critical of them. I was to right all such matters to the utmost of my ability. So just to orient ourselves, Bill is now doing steps 4, 5, 8, and 9. And I wanted to drill down on never was I to be critical of them. I was in the rooms for 30 plus years and could not get through step 9 because every time I went to make amends, I wanted to add, but here's why I was justified. Here was I was rational. I never really wanted to own my amend, not because I didn't believe I'd harm someone, but because it meant that I was not perfect and I was bad, and that would reaffirm everything I truly believed in myself. So I could never get recovered because I couldn't get through step 9. And then working this program, my sponsor said to me, you know, they're going to be upset, not upset, who knows, when you make amends to them, but you're just going to listen. Bye, sweetheart. So it said, never was I to be critical of them. So when I made my 9th step amends, and this is not to scare the newcomers, but I thought everybody would just be like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for saying that. That was not my experience. And I endured some pretty tough responses, but I didn't have to endure them alone. God was with me. I didn't rationalize. I didn't say, but. I didn't try to justify, which is what I always did with the food, and here I was trying to do it in my life. I just sat there and listened and loved them and prayed for them, and I was able to write all such matters. That moment has significantly affected my entire recovery. because I've realized that I can sit and endure being imperfect. I can be totally imperfect, and that doesn't mean I'm bad. It doesn't mean I suck. It means that I'm a human being in the human race. I'm not a mistake. I'm just a human. That's how I live in recovery today, with God just loving me, being imperfect on this today, like just sharing my truth, my experience, my strength, and my hope. So thank you so much for everyone who does service. So delighted to be one of this herd, and I look forward to hearing what everybody else has to say, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry, so much. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you came in while Sherry was sharing, we are on page 13 in Bill's story, and the paragraph we are discussing today starts, it's the third one, "My schoolmate visited me through to the utmost of my ability." So when you give me your name, if you can give me your name, your last initial, and where you're calling from. Okay, my pen is poised and I'm ready to go. Who would like to share today?
Mo H. from California.
Thank you, Mo.
Sherry M. from Wyoming.
Sherry M. from Wyoming.
Adela Jean M. from Idaho.
Jean M. And I feel like I heard a gentleman trying to get
Larry G.
Well.
From California.
Hi, Larry. Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Anyone else like to join this first round of shares?
Joan Marie.
Deb F. Yes. Deb F.
Joan Marie and Deb F. So let's start there, Joan Marie and Nevada. Okay, so I have Mo H., Sherry M., Adela Jean M., Larry G., Joan Marie, and Deb F. So if everybody other than Mo could mute themselves, Mo, please share with us your thoughts on this paragraph. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good morning, Susan, and thank you very much for your service and all those giving service today. My name is Mo H., and I am recovered compulsive eater from Walnut Creek, California. My schoolmate visited me. We know this is Ebby. He's been working with him, and I fully acquainted him with my problems and deficiencies. My very first time in OA, to be honest with my sponsor about my food, was the most difficult thing I had encountered, to be writing it down and telling her what I was eating. I never told anybody what I was eating, but I know this is more than just about the food here. Problems and deficiencies, as was said before, this is step 4 and 5. You know, all my foibles, you know, growing up in a religious church and, you know, confessing and all of that. This was quite different. Looking at my part here, I mean, talking about my resentments, my fears, my sex conduct to another person. I mean, it was very humbling. It was a very humbling experience, and I've done it numerous times. Each time gaining a little more insight into my behaviors. And then, you know, he said he expressed his entire willingness, not just a little bit of willingness, but entire. I have to be all in. I'm either all in, or I'm halfway in, or I'm all out. It just can't be, you know, flighty-dighty or, you know, whatever, but entire willingness to go to these people and make my amends. And as was said, not all of them were received beautifully. You know, they were a little difficult ones, but, you know, again, it's humility that got me through, and my sponsor leaning on them saying, you know, I'm very nervous about making this amend. And she was, you know, there with me in prayer, and, you know, I got through it. And I'll tell you, having finished most of my amends at that time was so freeing, was such, I haven't felt that free in, I don't think ever, because I carried these things with me. And, you know, more amends came up as I went down the line, you know, as I did more recovery. It's like, oh, I, you know, I would remember another one. Oh, yeah, oh, that one. So, and then I was to write all such matters to the utmost of my ability. And I have written here, what can I do to make things right? And, you know, that's a good question to ask myself, you know, on a daily basis. What can I do to make things right? And so another powerful paragraph. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much. Next up, Sherry M. in Wyoming. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Sherry M. I'm gratefully living in a recovered state today in Wyoming from this deadly disease of compulsive eating. Thank you so much, Sherry Z., for getting us started. And I like the opening share, and thank you, Mo. I just wanted to add my little take. Not much more to add to it, except for I see in this paragraph, steps 4 through 9, you know, being entirely, you know, my sponsor was super helpful when it came to step 8, because she told me I'm making a list. It's a two-part process, making a list of everyone I'd harmed. That's part 1. And then part 2 is becoming willing to make amends for them all, right? So that's step 8, and then admitting my wrong. And step 9, making a list of resentments. Step 4, and I really see in here the deficiency as what's being uncovered in step 5, but also that's my step 6. Those are my defects. Those are things that I'm pulling out of step 4. These are the character. These are blocking me from God. And for me, I cannot not be critical of somebody, so I can't go out and do step 9 unless I've done a thorough step 6. And 7. Why? Because that is the most humbling step for me to see my part, to see how I'm operating in the world when my character defects are up, and how am I showing up, and then how would I want to be if I had those removed? You know, there is such a leveling of my pride that happens to me between steps 5 and 9. And I believe those are 6 and 7. Those are the steps that separate. Those are the ones that I shoot for the moon and hopefully land on the stars. And I put next to this paragraph, caution, 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 right? This is a we. It says we did this together. I never go out and do amends by myself. And this is the step where I overly sponsor my sponsees. We go through letters and we edit and re-edit and edit again. Because it's so easy to put somebody else's name in the amends, and I am one that was taught their name should not be in there at all. I never bring up anything having to do with them. It's simply, I did this, and that's not who I want to be. It was, I deeply regret my behavior. There was nothing you could have done to change it. I was operating out of insecurity. It's all I. I mean, what else have I done to cause you harm? Which is the golden question for me. That's, I believe, God speaking back to me to tell me how I can shape my ideal going forward. And there are many people we should never approach. And so this step is a caution step for me. This is where sponsorship really comes into play. We really need to run this by a neutral party. So those are the things that stood out for me today. I can't wait to hear from everyone else. Thank you so much, Susan, for the meeting. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry. Next, Adela Jean M. in Idaho. Please join us, Adela Jean.
I'm Adela Jean M., a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm trying to stay on my food plan while working toward a healthy body weight. I came to my first OA meeting 46 years ago. I didn't work the program for several years. Then I made the decision to make amends to my daughters. And I went to my oldest daughter and told her that I had abused her as a child, and I was sorry, and she was very, very angry. She's now 54, and she's just as angry. Nobody should ever be told they were abused as a child. A few days after I had tried to make or did make amends to my oldest daughter, I went to my youngest daughter, and my oldest daughter must have said something to her because she wouldn't allow me to speak for the next several days. Every time I tried to talk about anything, I guess she was afraid I was going to do that, and she shut me up. So I never tried again. But I was at her house over Christmas,
and we both stayed up late that night. Everybody else had gone to bed. And I told her what I had done wrong when she was a child and made amends. And she didn't say anything one way or the other. She listened to me. Now, 46 years later, from my very first OA meeting, I'm working the program and I'm going to make some amends, other amends. I think over the years I thought, oh, it was equal. We were equally at fault and I just let it go. But recently I've really looked at my part, what I had done wrong. And I am 100% willing to do that. And I don't have a need to, well, you did this that caused me to behave that way. I don't have any desire to do that whatsoever. I'm 79 years old, so that has probably a little something to do with it. And so I'm hoping to make amends to their father in July. I haven't seen him in, about 40 some years. I don't know if he will speak to me or not, but maybe he'll receive a letter. If not, I'll just write it out and throw it away. But I am really pleased with myself that I am really wanting to do this. And I have others too. Thank you. I have others too that I'm wanting to make amends. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you. Next up, Larry G. in California. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Susan, and thank you for all those who give service. My name is Larry G. I'm from California. I wanted to talk about this, share my experience, strength, hope, because this paragraph really inspires me. Bill is being 12-step by Ebby, and Ebby has come from the Oxford groups. And I love the fact that our fellowship is based on the first 100 pioneers, where we take people to steps as fast as we can, and that's what was happening with Bill. And my understanding, the reason we do that is because we really don't start to experience the promises, fully experience the promises, until we go through all 9 steps, including making amends. It's when we make amends that those promises begin to manifest in my life. I came from traditional OA fellowships where it would take up to a year to go through steps. I had a sponsor that had me working on step 7 for 3 months. And I did the same thing, and I was always surprised in why people would not complete the steps, taking that length of time. And who is that for? I mean, is that for the sponsor? Is that for the sponsee? I don't know, but to me, that's another form of self-centeredness, because as I'm taking that amount of time to take someone through the steps, or I'm taking that amount of time for myself to go through the steps, there's people out there who are dying, who need to be need to be worked with and helped, in their program to get to recovered. And that's what I love about A Vision for You. When I came to A Vision for You, it was like pockets of AA in my community, where the prospect comes into a meeting, the sponsor takes them out into the car, they do steps 1, 2, and 3, and then they meet soon after that, do a 4th step, and they get through steps 9 very quickly. And my sponsor, it took me 60 days. I was surprised. I loved it, and I love it today. I love taking men through steps as quickly as we can, to get them out there working with others and 12-stepping other people who are suffering. And I think that was the intent of the Oxford group, and I think that was the intent of the first 100 pioneers, which is so many alcoholics out there who are suffering. They were overwhelmed with people who needed help. And we are, too. We're overwhelmed. And if we're taking a year, year and a half to go through steps, that's, I think, a form of selfishness on my part, for me, anyway. And with that, I pass back to you, Susan.
Thank you, Larry. Next up, Joan Marie in Nevada. Good morning.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you. Can I be heard okay?
Yes, you can.
Well, thank you. Okay, what stood out to me was I expressed my entire willingness. Well, that means for me entire willingness in every area of my life to accept the things, you know, to accept things as they are and not what I want them to be. And these steps are all about getting ready with, getting right with God. And I'm so grateful. I'll take this morning that this is such a we program. I had feelings this morning and yesterday of feeling sorry for myself, being disappointed in myself. And years ago when I was working, a little boy came in with this rock-shaped heart. And I just loved it. And he said, here, and gave it to me. And every time I was at a point of decisions or confirmations, I would see heart rocks. And then it became different heart shapes wherever, on the ground, in a puddle, whatever. And this morning, when I really needed to hear from my creator, one of my sponsees sent me a shape of a heart that she had found in her mother's house, and she has it hanging in her window. That's my God, my creator, talking to me, saying, Joe Marie, everything's going to be all right. And with that, I pass. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Jo Marie. Next up, Deb F. And Deb, if you could tell us where you're calling from this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. This is Deb F. in Texas. And I just said, gone through the steps, and in the process, I made amends to some of the most difficult people in my life. I've had resentments for the last, probably all my life, my family, starting with a couple members. And, you know, one of the blessings of the program is that when I was doing 10 steps before, I would see, oh, I wouldn't check this off much, but I would see that I was not seeing things from their point of view. I didn't even care. I just cared about my own point of view. And I still had this thinking a bit when I went to make amends to this one sister. And, you know, I did. I made the amends. And then I listened. I listened to her point of view, which we talked for a while. And then after I hung up, I was fine. And then towards the end of the day, I'm doing gardening, and I'm thinking, ooh, I thought of all the things that, oh my gosh, how could she say that? How could this? How could that? And it was all the fallout from my expectations and thinking that got challenged by doing that amends. And I'm so grateful that, you know, my sponsor and others in program were just encouraging me, just keep going, okay? Whatever it takes, you're just going to keep going. You're not going to worry about what they said or whatever, and just keep learning to look at things through God's eyes and not, you know, be affected by others, but at the same time, learn to listen, learn to listen. I had a girlfriend that I've known for 3 years tell me the other day when I said, really, you have a sister named so-and-so? I go, I didn't know that. She goes, that's because you don't listen. And I said, yeah, I've been told that a few times in my life. Anyway, I just am appreciative of how God and the rest of this program is helping me to become a fuller human being, one that doesn't have to use food, one that can actually help others, and one that can set boundaries and to start getting the promises of this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb F. in Texas. All right, before we take some more names, a reminder in case you came in during those shares, we are reading and sharing today on page 13, Bill's story, the third paragraph, My Schoolmate Visited Me, Through to the Utmost of My Ability. So if you haven't shared in the last couple of days, please join us. I need your first name, last initial, and state where you're calling from this morning.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Thank you, Karen.
Vanessa G.
Thank you, Vanessa.
Penelope.
Sorry, that cut out. Who was that?
Chanel T.
Chanel, hi, thank you.
Deb E.
We have time for Deb E, good morning. We'll probably take one or two more and see how we go.
Agnes A, California.
Thank you, Agnes. All right, we'll pause there. So I have Karen KZ, Vanessa G, Chanel T, Deb E, and Agnes A. So everyone other than Karen KZ in Missouri, please mute yourselves. And good morning, Karen.
Thank you, Susan. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. And I love listening to all the shares, and I love this part in Bill's story where he's going through all 12 steps, and to think how he's going through these steps in just a single paragraph. I was particularly taken by Never Was I to Be Critical of Them. And as somebody had shared previously, you know, I work with my sponsees too, and I needed to be worked with. We have to be really careful. And I remember in some kind of psychological, whether it was counseling or reading, it was like, when you did this, I got upset. So it's like putting the blame on the other person. And I had the experience of that. I'm visiting my son and his family in Florida. And he came to apologize. He said, I want to apologize to you. I've been really snappy with you. And he says, but you pushed my buttons. And I had to laugh because I think of how many times I think that. Well, they push my buttons. And instead, I'm triggered by something. There's something inside of me. I'm the one who's triggered. They're just being who they are. They're just doing what they do. And I just think the wording is so significant and so important because I kind of laughed at it, you know? And of course, I'm struggling a little bit being out of my routine and my element and my space. And so I'm getting opportunities. By the way, I didn't even know he's being snappy with me. So that's a big progress thing. But I think that for me, I get triggered when people sort of challenge what I believe or what I think. And I'm like, God is, I always go to God, you know, take me over and think through me and speak through me and act through me. And I'm quieted then. So when somebody's saying something that's false about me or about whatever, I'm able to just breathe and realize their intention is good because I do believe people are good and we're just all in the space we're in. And so anyway, I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to share. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Karen. Next up, Vanessa G in New Mexico. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vanessa G, recovered in New Mexico. You know, I sat with my sponsor, and I went over my fourth step, which was my, you know, letting someone else know my problems and my deficiencies. And I had this list of people, you know, that I had hurt or whom I had resentment against. But when we sat down and went through that list, I did not express my entire willingness. I expressed my entire unwillingness to approach particularly the individuals that she wanted me to see the next day. Maybe not. I was just totally critical of them and would only admit their wrongs. And I had no idea, you know, what I was going to do. And I just remember her turning to me and saying to me, at the time I didn't know that it was
you know, a straight quote out of the book, but she said, it was agreed at the beginning that we should go to any length. And if you don't have the willingness, you pray for the willingness. And that I was able to do. I started almost immediately. And it was just, you know, God, please help me. God, please get me in there. And before I knew it, the next day I was making an appointment. And by 1 o'clock that afternoon, I was sitting in the office of the person that I feared the most and that I hated the most. And I made my amends. And what I know about that for me is that was transformative from the standpoint that I found my way to accessing a higher power, allowing me to do something that I had absolutely no ability and no willingness to do prior to that. But at that point, my mind was clear enough from the steps up until that point to pray for the willingness and to receive it. That was the main part of it, to receive it. And from then on, I was able to turn to God over and over again in many more things. And that has allowed me to stay in a state of recovery. I so appreciate, you know, those words. It was agreed at the beginning to go to any lengths. And if you don't have the willingness, pray for the willingness. Thank you for letting me share this morning.
Thank you, Vanessa G. Next up, Chanel T. in Washington. Go ahead, Chanel.
Hi, thanks so much, Susan. This is Chanel T. in Washington State. Oh, I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I get to live in recovery today, and that is purely by the grace of my higher power I call God. So as a person who's an addict around eating and eating behaviors, compulsive eater, I appreciate extreme terms. I can go to extremes quite easily and did so for so many years outside of recovery. So when it says in this paragraph, fully, entirely, and utmost, so fully, I think that's pretty self-explanatory, all the way, right? Entirely. So if I look at an entire picture, I'm not missing any pieces, right? And utmost, greatest, to the most extreme. Ah, so it's not halfway. Half measures will avail me nothing. So if I'm looking at what I'm going to say, you know, when I do my four, it's going to go down here, which he talked about in the previous, Bill talks about in the previous paragraph. I write down everything without reservation. I just do it. Anything. Everything. Get it on there. If I'm not sure about it, I put it on there anyway. This step, I'm completely honest with myself, right? With God and with another human being. In this case, it was Ebby T for him. For me, it was my sponsor. If I'm holding anything back, I am keeping myself in, as a fellow likes to say, a prism of my own making. The same goes for becoming willing to make amends. I've made that list. I don't do that alone. Self-appraisal is insufficient. So I have the help of my sponsor in making that list, that step eight list. And then in nine, I delayed one. I delayed one for a while, for about a month. I don't recommend that. It was the hardest one, of course. Made all my others. And I didn't want to make this amends. I just didn't want to make it. I knew I needed to. And the moment I finally did it, the freedom I felt, I can't even describe. It was incredible. And I just recommend going the fully, entirely, and utmost way to get through these steps and seeing incredible results in the promises by doing so. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Chanel T. in Washington State. Next, good morning, Deb E. in Israel.
Hi, sorry, I missed time.
Hi, thank you, no problem. Okay.
Hi, it's Debbie, recovery compulsive overeater in Israel. And it's really good to think about step nine today because I work with steps continuously over and over, and so I'm on around a step nine right now. And yeah, and it's really been on my mind. And then I find myself not wanting to share, so that's when I know I have to share. And so, I mean, mostly my step nines are living amends. I don't even remember all. I wish, if I looked back, I might have it written down like in my old journals. But there's some amends that I made in the beginning that I don't even remember the details of. But for the most part, you know, I think they went well. You know, I got a lot of like, oh, I don't even remember that, or that was nothing, you know, and those are always like my favorite kind because they seem so, well, they didn't seem easy at the time, but then, you know, when they're received well, it's one thing. And so what's interesting about being in program for so many years is that I made amends to my father years ago, and to the point where about 12 years ago when he got sick and I wasn't sure if he was going to live, I was like, you know what, I feel totally great. I've done my amends. I feel great and everything. But over time, and so what I've, you know, I've heard people say, like, the more I know, the less I know, or the more I know, the less, like, the more I think I know nothing. And I feel like that's my experience in program. Like, I know so much, but I also realize how much I don't know. And so with this particular relationship, things have, like, more has been revealed, basically. And especially, like, last year around this time, I'm working with a therapist, and there's just stuff that brought up a lot of emotion and resentment. And so I feel like I owe an amends only because I'm feeling that way. Not that I've done something in particular, but it's, you know, I feel like I hear so many shares about, like, amends and this and that, but I haven't heard a lot of stories about, like, what happens when you've made amends, and everything, like, seems like it's clear and good, but then things come up, and then, you know, new things come up, and then having to kind of make amends again and sort of different stuff. So it's interesting how this is always evolving, and as I grew spiritually, like, just more happens, you know? And so I think it's mostly just living amends, which is what I agreed on with when I was talking about it with a fellow. But it is on my mind, so I feel like there's probably a direct amendment there too. So it's good to think about this today. I'm probably out of time, and yeah, it's always good to be honest.
Perfect timing. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Deb. Okay, next, Agnes A. in California. Good morning. Agnes, star one to unmute and join us. Hi, thank you.
Good evening. I'm in Paris, actually, so I'm glad I got this meeting on time. It's hard to keep track of time. But anyway, I'm so glad that the discussion is about, you know, the steps 4 and 5, taking personal inventory. I've done several, you know, like every 6 to 10 years, I do a full inventory, sometimes more often, you know, just because things tend to build up. And so that inventory with a sponsor, I just remember the euphoria each time. It's like I've become invincible, like I am cleansed. I am, the channel between me and God is clear, you know, and I'm closer to my sponsor and to program and to the steps and everything, because the ultimate goal is to have this personal relationship with God that I communicate and touch and feel and love daily, you know, that guides me on life's path. And then we come to the 8 and 9, and, you know, that's like cleansing. All these things that I've discovered about myself and that have been holding me back. But then I'd like to dwell on 10, right? Because that's the continual cleansing. That's like taking a shower every day. That's like washing off the dirt. And I still find that I can't do that without a sponsor. I need my sponsor to tell me, to discuss with me, to meditate with me, to help me address God and get a clear understanding of, did I do wrong here? Because I can still, one of my defects would be self-flagellation, right? It's always on a spectrum. What you call stubbornness may have been a coping mechanism on the other end that was required and that kind of a thing. And if I haven't done wrong, then maybe I don't owe amends there. But to help me understand that a situation has created resentment on the other hand. So it's just not just doing the fourth and fifth and the eighth and ninth. It's that daily inventory at the end of the day when I touch bases with God and I say, how did I do? You know, Dad, how did I do today? What do I need to change? You know, what's beyond my control? And I find that I need this triumvirate of me, my sponsor, and God on a daily basis. If I'm not doing the steps, if I'm not doing the daily inventory, my channel with God starts to get clogged, and it's not a la carte. I have to do all the steps. Share and reminding me that beyond the 4, 5, 8, 9 is also the 10. Thanks for letting me
Thank
share.
Thank you, Agnes.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Enjoy your time in Paris. All right. Time for one more share. First voice I hear gets it. Who's it going to be?
Robin T., Massachusetts.
Go for it, Robin. Thank you so much.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service this morning. I'm Robin T., recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. And I have to say, for me, step 9 was a profound awakening of a power greater than myself. It was unbelievable. I didn't understand it until I took the step. My sponsor said to me, are you willing to do anything? And I said yes. And I had not made financial amends. And I had been recovered twice before, and I didn't do it. I always thought, I'll get to it, I'll get to it, I'll get to it. Well, the I had to come out of the sentence, because when I was making phone calls, because I was so frightened to do this, I chanced upon a fellow who said to me, when she was frightened, she asked God to come into her heart. And that changed everything for me. And then I realized that this was about step 1. This was about being powerless and unmanageable in my life. And not just the food, but I had done harms. And I had to make them right in order to continue to be honest with the food and all the other areas in my life. And once I did that, my goodness, the action of just making those phone calls and trying my best to reach those parties from who I stole money years ago, I felt like I had cleaned my soul and was closer to God. And it was absolutely wonderful. I felt like I had let go of 50 pounds of dishonesty and guilt. So I am truly grateful from the bottom of my heart. I thank you. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Robin, so much. And thank you, everybody, Team Thursday, who was of service today, Sherry Z, Chanel T, Vanessa G, Sherry M, and Eileen M, who will be your hostesses for the after party. If you need a sponsor or you are available, please stay on. It is now time to close the meeting, and we will close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Chanel T, please read a vision for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.